Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle, and joined as I always am on Fridays by Sean Shapiro of EP Ringside, also of Shap Shots. You can reach him at Sean Shapiro on Twitter. I like to refer to him as the NHL guru. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well myself. It's a Friday. I'm getting caught up on some things. Taking some time to talk hockey with you. I can't complain.
Yeah, first world hockey problems coming from me. Mm-hmm. I've seen way too much West Coast hockey. I'm ready to come home. And I was home. These late nights, I mean, it's so, like, for instance, and I know, I mean, listen, you have to cater to the home market. But at the same time, a 9:30 start last night. So, you know, Stars play really well. Wedgwood comes up big. And I just look at some of the biggest games this year, two of which who have had football conflicts. And then now they play again. They play well last night, but it's at 9:30. How many people are actually watching? It's like, oh God, I need this team in prime with nothing else going on so that some passive hockey fans in DFW can see actually how well this team is playing.
Yeah. It's the nature of, it's the unfortunate nature of being the central, being in the central time zone in the Western Conference, of how things shake out that way. Like, at least, and obviously this is even worse for Eastern Conference teams when they go west. Like last night, it would have been on the East Coast, it would have been a 10:30 start, but at least Eastern Conference teams only make one trip there. You don't get two trips to California like this, like you do within the division, like the Stars do, within the same conference, like the Stars do. But it's just from a nature of kind of the game. And like, that's a game last night that if it's in earlier, more prime time, get more viewership. And it just kind of probably got lost right now in the general discourse of the season and everything like that. And a little bit earlier, we're probably talking about it more. So I'm with you. I'm ready for like a good like noon start. Like, give me like complete opposite.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was great to see Scott Wedgwood. I'm going to say bounce back, because honestly, the last few games, Sean, I thought, you know, I mean, I thought Carolina, he was okay, but, you know, let up a bunch of goals. I thought he came up big at some times, but at other times I thought Calgary, he struggled. And so it was good to see him come up, especially coming off a loss. And I know you as a goalie can speak to this, you know, psychologically, that's a big game. If they come back from this road trip 0-2 and they have lost some games recently. So nice little momentum shift with your backup goaltender.
And not even just from the team perspective with Wedgwood, he goes back to, he hadn't won a game since December 13th. It was in New Jersey. Played pretty well in that one back on December 13th. And before that, his last win before that had been like November 28th. And he had I'm looking at it right now. He had two losses in overtime, one loss in overtime, one loss in a shootout, two regulation losses. And as much as you're happy with the team winning and you understand how things work, like, it's vital to not be, as a backup goalie, for both his psyche and the rest of the team psyche, you don't want the team or anyone to look around and think, okay, the backup goalie game is a loss. And I don't think the Stars were at that concept, but all of a sudden you string together four losses. If they lost last night, you string four losses in a row from the last time you played, and you start getting to the point where it's been 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever, since he last won a game. It starts to become this thing that you have to deal with more and more, and becomes an outside conversation. And it just kind of, this kind of just puts a stopgap on that and gives Wedgwood the refresh, the reset he needed. And it kind of helps when Jake Oettinger is playing multiple games in a row, which he should play and everything like that. But it's not like you're doing it. It can still be the conversation of Jake's playing so well, we have to play him. It's not, well, we can't play the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. All right. Multiple choice question for Sean Shapiro coming off last night. And this is why I love doing the program with Sean. And this is why I love doing the program, because I'm trying to ask the questions that I think Stars fans think about. I know I think about Tyler Seguin with two goals last night. A, keep him on the first line when Roope Hintz returns. B, put him back on the second line, hope the momentum continues, added piece possibly at the trade deadline. Or three, back to normal and just hope that it continues or Hintz moves to the second line. And the reason I say that is I'm going to give you my opinion. Right now, I love Roope Hintz on that first line. And I think you go back to that, although I will say it's nice to see it seems as though when pieces get put in that there can still be that first line scoring punch. And I love, I don't want to say the renewed Tyler Seguin, but, you know, I love, I mean, that snapshot last night was like vintage old Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, I would go, so my answer on this is a twofold answer.
Okay.
I would go with option, I would option B, I would move Tyler back to the second line, and it's not against Tyler's production. I think when Roope Hintz comes back, when a guy comes back from injury, I don't want him worrying about coming back from injury and resuscitating another line. I want him to go back into his spot so he can just worry about being Roope Hintz again, playing with Pavelski and Robertson. If you were going to keep Seguin on the first line, it'd be like, okay, do we bump one of the other guys down to try to get some, but I wouldn't move Hintz down. I want Hintz back with Pavelski and with Pavelski or at least with Robertson. So my answer is this, is for that reason, and as I play lineup card in my head, I move Seguin down to the second line. And where my concept comes from that is that way you give Seguin kind of this renewed responsibility to kind of, hey, you were doing it with the one line, drive this second line for us. Can you do that for us? And maybe we'll go get you some help at the trade deadline. Hopefully they do. And I also think looking at how Sagan's been scoring some goals, I think it's the type of confidence that's not based off of playing with Pavelski and Robertson. I think it's self-driven. You talk about the shot last night. I'm so happy you used the word vintage. So literally in the piece this morning over at Chap Shots, I did kind of my breakdown of like, how did that go in, looking at everything. And Seguin, that was kind of one of those vintage Seguin reason he's paid as much as he is moments where the game is kind of, it's a broken play out of nowhere. That's like a superstar type moment where you pick your spot, you pick that top corner. And I think that's driven out of confidence. And that chance, while obviously you get more chances like that with Pavelski and Robertson because of how well they hold the puck, the goals Seguin scored last night can be scored on a second line. They can be scored even on a third line. Obviously, Tyler's not going to third line. But I look at, okay, let's see if we can use this as the bump that gets Tyler going to drive his own second line. And, oh, by the way, maybe we bring that other guy in at the deadline that can slide in and fit with him as well. So that's my opinion on how to answer your question on that one.
Okay.